All right, so today we're diving into something pretty interesting from the spiritual seek.
Yeah.
It's a personality test.
Okay.
And it's all about figuring out whether you are more in the world or of the world.
Okay, cool.
So I know we both are familiar with the spiritual seek,
Yes.
and they're all about, kind of these thought-provoking questions
Mm.
and really getting to the core of how we view ourselves and our place in the universe.
Right.
And this test is no exception.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, me too, me too. And there's even this cool tie-in to a quote from the Gospel of John about being in the world but not of it. So that adds another layer of intrigue here.
Interesting.
Yeah. So buckle up because we've got six statements to unpack, and each one is like a little philosophical puzzle.
Ooh, I like a good puzzle.
Me too, me too. And these are definitely designed to make us think.
All right, well, let's see what they've got for us.
Okay, so statement number one, this is a strong one. Right out of the gate, death is simply the end of everything.
Wow, that's pretty blunt.
It is,
Yeah.
right?
It is, there's no sugarcoating there.
No subtlety whatsoever.
But it does say a lot right off the bat. You know, this person is coming from a very materialistic worldview.
Right.
It's all about the physical, the tangible, no soul, no afterlife.
Just oblivion.
Yeah, when it's over, it's over.
Lights out the end. And
Exactly.
that perspective, I mean, as stark as it is, has some pretty interesting implications.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about it. If you truly believe that death is the absolute end, doesn't that change how you approach life?
Yeah. Does it make you more reckless or more cautious? I mean,
It could go either way, right?
yeah.
On one hand, you could say, well, nothing matters, so why bother with anything?
Right. Just indulge in every fleeting pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. Live for the moment because it's all we've got.
YOLO, as the kids say.
Exactly.
But then on the other hand, you could argue that this very belief could actually be liberating.
Oh, how so?
Well, if there's no ultimate consequence, if there's no judgment waiting for us on the other side, maybe it frees us to live more boldly, to pursue our true desires without the constraints of morality or societal expectations.
That's a fascinating point. It's like a double-edged sword,
Right.
nihilism on one side and radical freedom on the other.
Yeah, the spiritual seek definitely knows how to provoke some serious thought.
They do. All right, what's next?
Okay, statement number two. I would like to live forever if it were possible.
Okay.
Now, come on, who hasn't at least thought about that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The dream of immortality, it's a classic.
It is, it is. But I think what's really interesting here is what's underneath that
Wow,
statement.
what's driving that desire?
Exactly. Is it just a fear of death, like clinging to this life with everything we've got, or is there something more?
Like a love of life so profound that you never want it to end.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's about a desire to experience all that this world has to offer, to keep learning and growing.
To see what happens next, to
Exactly.
deepen those relationships, and to savor every single moment.
Yeah, because let's be honest, life is pretty amazing.
It is. It really is. And I think the spiritual seek is getting at that nuance here.
Right.
It's not just a simple yes or no, I want to live forever or I don't. It's about understanding the why behind that desire.
Yeah.
And it does make you wonder, are we so focused on extending this earthly experience
Yeah.
that we're missing the point of something much bigger, something beyond just our physical existence?
Ooh, now that's getting deep.
Haha, it wouldn't be the spiritual seek without a little existential pondering.
All right, let's move on to statement number three. You have to live each day as if it were your last.
Oh, okay.
This one almost feels like a counterpoint to the last statement, right?
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? It's like they're playing with these opposing ideas.
Right.
On one hand, we've got the longing for immortality, and on the other, this urgency to seize the day because it might be our last.
Yeah, and while it sounds motivating, carpe diem and all that,
Right.
there's a subtle undercurrent here that I think we need to unpack.
Okay.
It's almost like this statement is suggesting that the value of life is purely in the quantity of experiences.
Like, it's all about checking things off a bucket list.
Yeah, exactly. Just
Yeah.
racking up as many experiences as possible before the clock runs out.
But is that really all there is to it?
Right? Like we could be living each day to the fullest in that sense. But if our focus is purely on the external,
Right, on those fleeting pleasures?
are we actually growing? Are we evolving as human beings?
That's the question, isn't it? The spiritual seek is pushing us to consider
Yeah.
that maybe true fulfillment isn't about how much we do, but about the depth of understanding and connection we cultivate within each experience.
Okay, now we're getting to the heart of it.
Right, because it's not just about doing, it's about being.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit with statement number four. I feel comfortable in society, although it is not perfect.
Okay, so this one's a little different.
It is, right. It's not about our personal mortality anymore.
No, it seems to be more about our relationship with the world around us.
Exactly. It's about fitting in, about accepting the status quo.
Even with its flaws.
Yeah, it's like the go-with-the-flow approach to life.
Right, not rocking the boat, just finding your place within the existing structures.
And there's a certain appeal to that, right? That sense of belonging, that comfort in knowing where you stand.
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. The spiritual Sikh is asking us to consider the cost of that comfort.
What do you mean?
Well, does this acceptance come at the expense of personal growth?
Oh.
Are we sacrificing our individuality and our unique potential just to fit in?
That's a tough one, because on one hand, I totally get the need to belong to a community to feel accepted.
Right.
But then if we're constantly trying to conform to these societal expectations, are we ever truly free to become who we're meant to be?
Exactly. And that's the tension that the spiritual Sikh is highlighting here. Mm-hmm. It's that push and pull between belonging and individuality. And it's suggesting that maybe true comfort doesn't come from blindly accepting things as they are.
But from finding the courage to question, to challenge, to carve our own path.
Exactly. It's about embracing that unique spark within each of us.
Okay, ready for statement number 5.
Hit me with it.
Religion is useless now that science explains everything.
Ooh. Okay, so we're getting into some potentially controversial territory here.
Right, this one is definitely going to stir up some debate.
It's pitting science and religion against each other.
Yeah, and it's implying that one has made the other obsolete.
It's reflecting this growing trend of scientific materialism, right. You know, where empirical evidence and reason are king.
Right, it's the, if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist mentality.
Exactly, and the spiritual Sikh is prompting us to ask, is that really all there is?
Yeah, are we losing something vital by dismissing those aspects of human experience that science can't fully explain?
Right, like the mysteries, the intangible, the spiritual.
Exactly, and maybe science and spirituality aren't mutually exclusive.
Maybe they're just different lenses through which to view reality.
That's a really interesting way to put it.
It's about acknowledging that there are multiple ways of knowing and understanding the world.
Okay, we're down to our final statement, and this one is a doozy. I have the feeling that I have already lived on this planet.
Wow, that's a head scratcher.
It is, right? It's so open-ended. It's almost like a Rorschach test.
Right, it can mean so many different things.
Yeah, it could be about reincarnation. You know, the idea that our soul has journeyed through multiple lifetimes.
Right. Or maybe it's just a profound sense of familiarity, like deja vu, but on a cosmic scale.
Yeah, like we've walked this earth before and our soul carries the echoes of those past lives.
Exactly. And the spiritual Sikh might be suggesting that this sense of familiarity points to a strong attachment to the material world.
Like a deep-seated desire to return to this plane of existence.
Right, but it could also be something more profound.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe it's a recognition of our interconnectedness with all beings throughout time and space.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot to process.
Haha. I told you the statements were designed to make us think.
Okay, so we've dissected all 6 statements, and my mind is officially blown. We've explored materialism and spirituality, conformity and individuality, the lure of immortality, and the call to seize the day.
It's been quite the ride.
It has. But now the big question is, what does it all mean?
Right. How do these seemingly simple statements actually reflect whether we're more in the world or of the world?
And that's what we'll uncover in part 2 of our deep dive.
Stay tuned, folks. It's about to get even more interesting.
Welcome back. We're diving even deeper now into the spiritual Sikhs in the world versus of the world personality test.
You know, it's fascinating how much those 6 statements have really gotten us thinking.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're deceptively simple,
right.
But they're packed with so many layers of meaning.
Exactly. So now it's time to unpack what these statements actually reveal about us, about whether we're more in the world or of it.
Yes, exactly. I think to really understand this whole in versus of concept,
yeah,
we need to move beyond just analyzing the statements themselves and see how this dynamic actually plays out in real life.
Okay, so it's not just a theoretical exercise. Mm-hmm. It's about how these different orientations shape our choices, our relationships, our experiences.
I mean, think about it. Someone who's deeply in the world, they're likely driven by those external markers of success, you know?
Right, like the corner office, the fancy car, the big house.
Yeah, exactly. Their goals revolve around climbing that corporate ladder, accumulating wealth, achieving social recognition.
So their sense of self-worth is really tied to those external achievements.
Yeah, it's like their identity is built on this foundation of validation from the outside world.
And that can be a recipe for a lot of stress and anxiety.
Oh, absolutely. It creates this constant striving, this never-ending pursuit of the next milestone.
Always chasing the horizon, never quite reaching that point of contentment.
Right. And then on the other hand, you have someone who's more of the world, mm-hmm. and they might not be as motivated by those external markers of success. Their values might be rooted in something deeper, something more intrinsic.
Yeah, like what kind of things?
Well, they might prioritize creative expression or spiritual growth or service to others.
So they find fulfillment in connecting with nature, pursuing their passions, making a positive impact on the world.
Exactly. And that doesn't mean they're not ambitious or successful.
Right.
It's just that their definition of success might look a little different from what society typically dictates.
So it's not about judging one orientation as better than the other.
No, not at all.
It's about recognizing that these are two different paths, each with its own unique set of strengths and challenges.
Precisely. And understanding those differences can be incredibly valuable, especially when it comes to relationships.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, imagine someone who's very in the world, partnering with someone who's more of the world. They might clash over things like
money,
how they spend their time.
Yeah.
What they prioritize, how they define success.
Oh, yeah. I can see how those conflicting values could create some serious friction.
It's like they're speaking different languages.
But couldn't those differences also be a source of growth?
Oh, absolutely.
For both people.
Yeah.
Like maybe the person who's in the world can learn to appreciate simplicity and connection from their partner.
Right.
And the person who's more of the world might gain valuable insights into navigating the practical realities of life.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance, that sweet spot where each individual can honor their own path while also learning and growing from their partner's perspective.
Hmm. That's a beautiful thought. And this whole in versus of dynamic, it plays out in so many areas of life.
Oh, it does. Think about how people approach social issues or political debates, for example.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Someone who's in the world might be more focused on practical solutions, you know,
right.
prioritizing economic stability or individual responsibility, while someone who's of the world might take a more idealistic approach, emphasizing compassion, social justice.
Systemic change.
Exactly. And again, neither perspective is inherently right or wrong.
Right.
It's about recognizing those different lenses through which we view the world and finding ways to bridge the gap between them.
Yeah, it's about having those difficult conversations with empathy and understanding.
Exactly.
Knowing that there are multiple valid perspectives out there.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, can someone actually shift from being more in the world to more of the world?
Ooh, good question. Or vice versa. Are we kind of stuck with our initial orientation?
That's an interesting question. And I do believe we have the capacity to evolve.
Okay.
Throughout our lives, our experiences, our relationships, those introspective journeys we take,
right.
those can all influence our orientation. So it's not a fixed point. It's more like a spectrum.
Okay.
We can move along.
And the key is self-awareness.
Yes, exactly. By recognizing where we are on that spectrum, we can make more conscious choices about how we engage with the world.
Yeah, like maybe we realize we've become too consumed with material success and we want to cultivate more inner peace.
Right. Or perhaps we're feeling disconnected from our communities.
Yeah.
And we want to find ways to contribute and make a meaningful impact.
So it's about constantly recalibrating our compass, adjusting our course as we gain new insights and experiences.
I love that analogy. It's about finding that harmony between our inner and outer worlds.
So we've talked about how this in versus of the world dynamic can shape our values, our relationships, how we approach social issues.
Yes.
But I'm really curious now about the practical applications of these insights.
Okay.
How can we actually use this knowledge to create more fulfilling and meaningful lives?
That's a great question, and that's exactly what we'll explore in our final segment. We'll delve into some specific strategies and practices that can help us align our actions with our deepest values, no matter where we fall on that in versus of spectrum.
All right, so we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into the spiritual Sikhs in the world versus of the world personality test.
It's been a fascinating exploration, hasn't it?
It really has. We've covered a lot of ground from those initial six statements.
Yeah.
To how these different orientations can impact everything from our values and relationships to our approach to social issues.
It's amazing how much these seemingly simple statements can reveal about us.
It is, but now it's time to bring it all home.
Right. What does this all mean for you, the listener?
Exactly. Because it's one thing to intellectually grasp these concepts, you know?
Right.
But it's another thing entirely to actually integrate them into our lives.
Absolutely.
So where do we even begin?
Well, I think the first step is recognizing that there's no right or wrong answer here. It's not about striving to be more of the world or forcing ourselves to be more in it. The real power comes from simply acknowledging where we are on that spectrum and accepting ourselves as we are.
So self-awareness, not self-judgment.
Exactly. And once we have that awareness, then we can start making more conscious choices about how we want to engage with the world.
Okay, so give us an example.
Sure. Let's say you realize you're deeply in the world driven by achievement and external validation.
Hmm.
Now, that's not a bad thing in itself.
Right.
But it's important to be mindful of the potential pitfalls. Are you constantly chasing that next goal? Neglecting your own well-being in the process? Are you placing too much emphasis on material possessions or social status?
It's like checking in with ourselves and asking, is this truly serving me or am I just caught up in the rat race?
Precisely. And if you find yourself feeling depleted, stressed, or unfulfilled,
yeah,
it might be time to explore some practices that can help you reconnect with your inner world.
Like what kind of practices?
Well, things like meditation, mindfulness, spending time in nature, even just carving out some quiet time for reflection, those can make a huge difference.
It's about finding those things that nourish your soul and bring you back to a sense of balance.
Exactly. And then on the flip side, if you recognize that you lean more towards being of the world, you might find yourself feeling a bit detached from the everyday hustle and bustle.
Right.
You might struggle with things like financial stability or navigating the complexities of social interactions.
Yeah, it's like that feeling of being a soul adrift in a material world.
Yeah, right. And it's important to remember that being of the world doesn't mean you have to renounce all material possessions or live as a recluse.
Okay.
It's about finding ways to ground yourself in the present moment while still honoring those spiritual aspirations.
So how can someone who identifies with this orientation find their footing?
Well, maybe it means exploring practical skills that can help you navigate the material world more effectively. Or perhaps it's about finding ways to connect with like-minded individuals who share your values and can provide a sense of community and support.
So it's about bridging that gap between the spiritual and the practical finding, that sweet spot where you can live authentically without feeling like you have to completely withdraw from the world.
Exactly. And remember, no matter where you fall on the spectrum, the key is to approach life with intentionality. Ask yourself, what truly matters to me?
Yeah.
What kind of legacy do I want to leave behind?
It's about aligning our actions with our deepest values, making choices that are in harmony with our soul's purpose.
Beautifully said. And that alignment is what ultimately brings a sense of meaning and fulfillment to our lives.
This has been such an incredible conversation.
It has.
We started with a simple personality test, but it's led us to explore some really profound truths about what it means to be human.
And as we wrap up this deep dive,
we
encourage you to continue pondering these questions, reflect on the statements that resonated most deeply with you, explore the practices that can help you cultivate greater self-awareness and live more authentically. And remember, this journey of self-discovery is ongoing.
Yes, there's always more to learn, more to explore, more to become.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Spiritual Seek's thought-provoking personality test. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and feel inspired to continue exploring your own unique path in this grand adventure we call life.